Live from the Deschavez Music Home Studio, this is the Deschavez Podcast, showcasing anything of interest. Deschavez Podcast, episode number 8.
Beginner Server information.
Howdy. Welcome to Deschavez Podcast, episode number 8, entitled Beginner Server Information. This podcast will go over what owners of servers who wish to purchase one should know. So let's begin. When you purchase a server, you need to think of a couple of things. And one of them would be, what content would you run? How much resources would you need? And how invested would you be to maintaining your own server? Now that last one is critical because people tend to buy servers, then decide a year or two down the road they get tired of it, and then abandon it. The first two also have significance because if you purchase a server that's underpowered and you choose to run content that is changing, you won't have enough power to run all of it. The second one is not so much, but it still requires clarification anyway. So regardless, no matter what you buy, make sure that you have a significant investment in it. In other words, you're willing to maintain it for the duration of the time that you have it. Let's go over static content versus dynamic content. Dynamic content would be something along the lines of a blog site, news site, even stock trading site, stuff like that. Something that will change and will continue to change. Static content would be something like, maybe just like a homepage with one or two links, maybe three. It'll never change, probably. So, in the context of dynamic content, you'd want a server that actually can handle the workload. Now, when we say workload, we simply mean how much processing power would you need. If we're talking about like hundreds of sites, you'll probably need significant processing power. Now, processing power would be measured in like core or gigahertz and stuff like that. So in simple terminology, if you don't have enough processing power, then the content that you're going to run, at least statically, is going to possibly fail or not run at all. Now, static content, it would not matter how much processing power you need, providing that you have enough resources like storage and stuff like that to run it. In the case of dynamic content, a good processing power would probably be something along the lines of possibly 2 gigahertz and 4 to 8 gigs of memory. That should be sufficient. However, storage is also going to play an important role. Storage is usually measured in binary 2, which takes the amount, say in megabytes, and sums it up to gigabytes. Now, if we're talking about megabytes, 1024 megabytes is 1 gig. Now, I'm not going to go into math formulas here because you could actually Google binary 2 conversion and input what you need. I believe there's a site called Unit Converter that would do it actually. So, barring that, so if you're going to run like a simple homepage and it's only you that's hosting, a simple even 500 megabyte server might do, but since they don't have it anymore, usually, a 1 gig server with maybe 2 gigs of memory and say 50 gigs of storage, that would be hard drive space, that should suffice. However, if you're going to run like 18 to 35 block sites, then you'll probably need more processing power, like 3 or 4 gigahertz or something, and 8 to 16 gigs of memory. That's going to be quite a bit, and probably like 300-400 gigs of storage. Now, investing in a server is a year-long or more process. Meaning to say, once you get your server, it's important to know your system like the back of your hand. Now, for those who are starting out, they're not always going to know their systems. So here's an important fact. Fact. Most servers get broken into because people decide to use weak passwords like dog123 or the famous 12345 or homemade cookies as a password, something of that nature. Now, it's important to know that security experts say that the longest password that you have would be the better. However, some people have issues remembering passwords. So it's better in the long run to write down your password, keep it in a safe place, and change it often. Security experts in this field recommend changing it every 30 to 90 days or so, just in case. Now, what is server investment? When we talk about server investment, we mean the amount of time you're going to take each day or possibly each week to make sure your server is up to date. There are programs that would do it, such as on Debian, there is apt update and other things like that, but you have to know how to use those. Now, not going to dive into that for this podcast. However, I will say that you can Google such commands and you should be able to get the syntax of them. The other question remains then, what do you do with the server if you choose not to invest it anymore? The simple fact is you could delete your account with the provider, or you can keep the account and use the server for yourself. Most people usually go this route. However, some people actually do the other and delete the account and server and all the data that they've worked hard for. In maintaining a server, it is of importance that you try to keep backups. I tell this to my clients and other people to keep backups because you never know what will happen when. It's always a good idea to keep two or more. One is called on-site, the other is off-site. On-site simply means that you have a machine available and you have those backups go to that machine. Off-site would mean off-site storage, as in like an external hard drive or something similar. It's, like I said, of importance to keep backups. If not, then you'll be starting from scratch. Backups can take one of two things, operating system and user. Operating system might be important if you are a system administrator like myself, or if you're not a system administrator and don't feel like going through the hassle, then you could just do user backups. User backups are less cumbersome and don't take a lot of time. Operating system backups, however, are much more redundant and usually restore the entire system. So, in the terms of user backups, the most important things you'd want to back up, if you have it, would be your databases, if you have any, your email accounts, your web pages, and any configuration files that might go along with your website. Now, if we're talking about a simple homepage with, say, a simple one-link thing, you might want to back it up, but maybe not. If it doesn't get backed up, no harm done. Unless, however, you don't have the file or files that make up the website. Hosting images and other content will require quite a bit of processing power, especially because if you have a ton of traffic your processing power that you have may or may not be able to handle the workload. Now, if it does not handle the workload, symptoms of that would be the server gets overloaded, the server stops responding, the server eventually crashes, and in most cases, the server, depending on the kernel, shuts down, probably. Now, that's something that you want to avoid when running dynamic content. Now, in the case of static content, you shouldn't have any problems. However, do be aware that, again, the processing power does matter as well, although not as much as if you run a dynamic content site. Sites like WordPress, Joomla, Drupal, and other equal sites, those are considered dynamic content. And you want to make sure that you have enough processing power to run all of those sites. Now, if you're running a simple email server just for a couple of friends and you, maybe not so much processing power would be sufficient. So in the case of a 1 gigahertz server processor, it should run sufficiently fine. However, if you're planning to do email on top of websites on top of FTP or file transfer protocol, then you might have a problem. Again, that applies as well if you're going to do a phone system such as what they call Asterisk, and your websites in your database, email, FTP, then you're going to have an even more serious problem. So that's basically would be the time to know, does your provider allow increase of processor and memory, or do you have to pay extra for it? And looking for a server is a good idea to look for the cheapest provider that you could afford. Don't go with an expensive provider just because friend A says, well, hey, this provider's good. Do your research, do your shopping, and always look for the cheapest option. If you have to host with a friend who knows what they're doing, that's also an option as well. Because then your friend should be able to know their system like the back of their hand, and even if not, they should at least be able to know the basics, so if something happens, they should be able to get to it promptly. If you choose to host with a reputable hosting company, make sure that they have support 24/7, and if for some reason you don't like the support, well, at the end of your contract or whatnot, cancel the service and find elsewhere. You do have the right, and everybody from myself on down has definitely exercised that right. Although years ago I liked to host with web hosting companies because I felt safe, eventually I got tired because a lot of these companies tend to point you to articles, do this, do that, click on this, click on that. That doesn't help somebody who's vision impaired or totally blind. It really doesn't. If it were me hosting with a hosting company, I would rather them, well, hey, could I call you to help with this? If they say, well, you need to go through our support channel, then that could be a problem. That's the other thing. When you run a server, you need to make sure that you're there for your users. Know your system enough that if something happens, you don't need to query somebody else to how to fix it. It's okay every once in a while. However, it will get aggravating if you have to ask someone else. So it's important that you know your system front and back. A lot of the stuff that we went over here can be Googled. And in case of providers, you could possibly look up provider like Linode, Linode, or InterServer. And those are the two providers that I usually go with. There are others. So like I said, do your research, shopping, and ask questions of friends who host with these providers. So I think this will wrap up this podcast, and I appreciate everyone's loyalty, whether existing listener or new subscriber, in listening to this podcast. So this has been episode number 8, and this is Daniel Chavez from the De Chavez Music Home Studios. Thanks, and have a great morning. Goodbye. De Chavez Podcast, contact info. To subscribe to the podcast, visit www.chavezapps.us. Click on subscribe and you will have many options to subscribe, such as TuneIn, Amazon Music, and more. To contact the author, email webmaster@chavezapps.us. Thanks for listening. The Chavez Podcast is now on Alexa devices. Tell Alexa, play The Chavez Podcast.